And as always, I've got my monthly shout-outs. So my monthly shout-outs go to people who have helped out the fire service in some way. So Dr. Angela Gibson of the University of Wisconsin Hospital Burn Center. Dr. Gibson presented to the Wisconsin State Fire Inspectors Association Area 2 chapter on burn statistics, trends, and prevention. She was on WIBD back in February for Burn Awareness Week. Also, the UW Hospital Burn Unit is seeking donations as they are moving to a new area of the hospital. So you can contact UW Hospital if you would like to donate to that cause. Jennifer Lack, formerly of the American Red Cross, who accepted a job as a training specialist with FEMA. Jennifer has been great to work with as the disaster preparedness manager for the American Red Cross. She was the contact for the smoke alarm installation program and was in town in May to go door-to-door installing smoke alarms with the West Bend Fire Department. Just want to wish Jennifer the best of luck in her new career. And just as a reminder, if you need smoke alarms installed in your home, you can call 262-335-5055 if you live in the city of West Bend, or visit getasmokealarm.org if you live outside of West Bend. And each month I'll mention one of the other area fire departments and their smoke alarm program. So last month I mentioned the Jackson Fire Department has their smoke alarm installation program. So if you live in the Allenton Fire Department's fire protection area, you can call 262-629-5413 if you would like a smoke alarm installed in your home in the Allenton Fire Department area. And our last shout out goes to Rocco Bartolotta and his crew from Wolverine Fireworks for putting on another great fireworks show on July 4th. And yes, the firebombs at the end of the show were intentional. I'd like to thank Adri Masaki for posting the video from the crowd and Amber Ann Daniel for posting a still shot on the West Bend Area Gripes, Complaints, and Nosy Neighbor Facebook page. So yeah, I do watch that page, so I know what's going on around town. The firebombs looked a lot cooler from the crowd perspective than it did from where I was standing on the west side of the display. So I only saw it from a line shot, so it looked really good from the video that was posted on the Facebook page.
All right.
Okay, so now we move on to monthly sprinkler saves, or also known as fires you've never heard about, because there's no news on something that was stopped from happening. As I pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler system and a due-paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association. For more information on the National Fire Sprinkler Association, you can go to www.nfsa.org. Be sure to follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Visit sprinklersaves.com to see the latest information on activated sprinklers that suppressed or controlled fires. So once again, we have two from Wisconsin and one from the Chicago area. So on Sunday, June 9th, a fire started in the kitchen at one of the condos at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. So according to the Delton Fire Department, firefighters found the Kalahari Resort condo full of smoke when they arrived around 6 p.m. on Sunday. Everyone had gotten out safely. Fire officials say automatic sprinklers were able to put the fire out completely. Firefighters used fans to remove smoke and help clean up the water. Teenager left the room while cooking on the stove and forgot to turn the burner off, according to investigators. Someone else inside the condo woke up to flames in the kitchen and saw the sprinklers turn on right away. Officials describe it as a volatile grease fire. So, yeah, so not only did the sprinkler system work, but this is another life lesson where make sure you're paying attention to what you're cooking. Do not walk away from the stove when you're cooking.
Don't leave that pizza in the oven when you fall asleep.
Exactly. I mean, it's happened to all of us. Again, another rule I've broken somewhere along the line and woken up to the smoke detectors going off because of a night out, needed a pizza at the end of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Here's one from the Chicago area. A vending machine caught fire early Saturday, June 22nd, inside a Naperville, Illinois warehouse, but was quickly extinguished, authorities said. Some two dozen firefighters responded to the commercial building on the 400 block of Fort Hill Drive at 5:20 p.m. after receiving a 911 call, as well as automatic notification from the building's fire alarm system, according to a news release. Firefighters arrived within 5 minutes, seeing nothing on the building's exterior, but when they went inside, they found fire coming from the vending machine. A sprinkler head directly over the machine contained the fire to that room, and with a single hose line, crews were able to extinguish it, the release said. All occupants of the building were outside by the time the firefighters arrived, and no injuries were reported. Yep, so those Mars bars starting vending machine fires, those are frowned upon. And also from Western Wisconsin, on Monday, July 8th, a fire broke out inside a shredder hopper at about 8:30 a.m. at the Dynamic Life Cycle Innovations in rural Onalaska. The Holman Fire Department responded and requested mutual aid from six other fire departments, including the City of La Crosse Fire Department. The company's sprinkler system subdued the fire, and firefighters were able to contain it to the shredder hopper. There was no structural damage to the building. So again, the sprinkler systems are doing their job. Fastest water, able to get the fire out before the firefighters are even notified, improving productivity and saving some lives.
That's a recycling operation, by the way.
Yes, and we have some of those in the city of West Bend, and those buildings are sprinklered as well. Anything can start on fire at any time, so that's why having a sprinkler system in a building is the most effective safety measure that you could have.
There we go. All right. Well, today is July 15th, and what is July 15th?
July 15th is National Pet Safety Day. So actually, our secretary asked me the other day, she said, if you didn't have your dog now, would this matter as much? And I said, yeah, actually it would. It matters more now. So those of you at the dog park who've seen Zoe, my American foxhound, it means a lot more fire safety wise to me. So because I've had a number of fires and you know, I've seen the results of either animals who have passed in the fire or animals that are scared and uncontrollable, such as the one it was on Jefferson, I believe, where we had a dog in a kennel downstairs. Fire was put out quickly enough, but the dog was a little uncontrollable because that dog was really scared. So according to the National Safety Day calendar.com, National Pet Fire Safety Day is observed annually on July 15th and sponsored by the American Kennel Club and ADT Security Services. Just like fire drills, pets need consideration when preparing for unexpected fire emergencies. So taking preventable measures now can both save your home and your pet. Many times our pets can cause a fire if we don't take the proper steps. So here's some pet fire safety tips. Extinguish open flames. Pets are curious and certainly not cautious. Wagging tails haphazardly knock over candles. Curious kitties will paw at sizzling grease, quickly sending a kitchen up in flames. Remove knobs from the stove. When not in use, they will not accidentally get turned on. Consider flameless candles for ambiance and backup lighting in the event of a power outage, which we've talked about that one before. So even not in pet safety, that one's a big one. Replace glass water bowls with metal or plastic. Outside on wooden decks, they can heat up and actually start a fire. So that goes with what we were talking about a few months back with the water bottles in cars. So again, science. Mm-hmm. Science is cool.
Right.
So have leashes and collars stored near the entrance of your home. When away, have pets in the main living area for easy rescue. Secure young pets when away from home. This can avoid fire hazards. Pet kennels or in pet-proofed rooms are options. Fire alert window clings help firefighters identifying the room your pets are located and identify the number of pets in the home. Add one to the window of the room you keep your pets when you are away. Keep it updated with the number of pets who reside with you and your current phone number. So that's actually a good help for us. So if you have them, we had some in the past, I believe, that we gave away at the Fire Prevention Week open house. So we will see if we can find some more. Or if somebody wanted to donate some, we would gladly accept those as well. And then have a plan when you are at home. Know which family members will be responsible for each pet. Put the tips into practice and have a fire drill. Keep your pets and your humans safe. Use hashtag Pet Fire Safety Day to post on social media. And I remember from a few years back, it was 2 years ago, actually, the fire we had in the apartment building where the mom was sleeping and the child had the sparkler inside. That's actually what started the fire. Mm-hmm. Is the cat came by and his tail brushed the sparkler. When the cat ran, it startled the child and the child dropped the sparkler. So, yeah, don't use sparklers. And we've talked about
that last month.
So again, so having the sparkler inside, having it around a pet, that's two things that are frowned upon back to back, bad decisions. So we have to make sure that we are safe with all these things with our pets around.
Community conversation this morning with Fireman Kenny. So got some recognition for the West Bend Fire Department.
Yes, the West Bend Fire Department has received the American Heart Association 2019 Mission Lifeline EMS Gold Plus recognition. So the American Heart Association recognizes that pre-hospital personnel are the fire providers of care to the patients suffering from a STEMI heart attack and are an integral part of the STEMI system of care, impacting the overall care and outcome of the patient. The achievement illustrates a commitment to providing guidelines-based care while meeting high standards of performance. So a couple things I got to understand. A STEMI, so that's STEMI, which is an ST elevation myocardial infarction. So that means there are arteries in the heart that are blocked, and the heart tissue that receives blood supply from those arteries is starving for oxygen. When our paramedics put ECG patches on a patient, we can see the abnormalities on the cardiac monitor. Recognition of those abnormalities tells us not only what's wrong with the heart, but sometimes can tell us where in the heart the problem lies. So sometimes left side or the right side, depending on where it is, we can actually see that on the monitor. So if you've seen it on TV, the little cardiac thing going by, it looks like a nice little upside down V. If it looks like it's got a little loop at the end of it, we're recognizing that right away as a potential heart attack. So Mission Lifeline EMS Gold Recognition agencies earn gold recognition with a minimum patient volume of at least 8 STEMI patients transported directly to a STEMI receiving center for primary PCI, which is percutaneous coronary intervention, and or STEMI referring hospital for fibrinolytic, I can't say that word, administration, and for achieving 75% or higher adherence over at least one consecutive 24-month interval. All Mission Lifeline EMS quality measures to improve the quality of care for STEMI patients. Mission Lifeline EMS Gold Plus recognition. In addition to meeting the above requirements, the agency also achieved at least 75% on the 2018 Plus measure. Percent of adult out-of-hospital cardiac arrest patients resuscitated on scene with sustained ROSC, which is return of spontaneous circulation of at least 20 minutes, maintained to arrival at the emergency department who has a 12-lead ECG performed in the field. So what that means is we've had a number of patients who have been pulseless non-breathers, so they didn't have a pulse and they weren't breathing.
Right.
So we've came by, done CPR, probably shocked those patients as well, and then brought back some sort of pulse and delivered them to the ER with a pulse. And again, we've had an amazing success rate recently over the last 5 to 7 years with having people who would have died in the past that are now leading healthy and productive lives. So this is a really great recognition for us.
So now this is part of what you said too. I think we've talked about before about where your EMS folks are trained so they don't have to necessarily go through the emergency room and all that to get someone right into that heart lab right away.
Yeah, absolutely. So us and the New Berlin Fire Department going to Frederick, and then anytime we go to Grafton, we will bypass the emergency room, be able to go right to the cardiac cath lab, saving time and saving the patient money so they are not getting an ER bill. And so that actually and increasing the time. So actually this goes into so here's the criteria. The 12-lead ECG and hospital notification of the rhythm within 10 minutes of arrival of a call for chest pain. So you call for chest pain and we get on scene and we're starting a 12-lead right away. Primary care in the cardiac cath lab completed within established time. So that's 90 minutes for travel times less than 30 minutes and 120 minutes for travel times greater than 45 minutes. So from West Bend to Frederick is give or take 25 minutes on the freeway in good traffic. So a lot of times these people from the time of call till the time they're on the table and getting the procedure is about 90 minutes when they get their heart arteries opened up. And so let's say for intercepts, if we're intercepting with someone north of us, like let's say the Kewaskum Fire Department, and especially when we're in Fond du Lac County in their area, then that is more than a 30-minute travel period. It's usually about 45 minutes, and they're getting it done within 120. And I've talked about it before where the amount of time it takes that what's the difference between having 93% of your heart versus 87% of your heart. And again, numbers just made up, but that could be the difference between being able to work an 8-hour workday versus only being able to work a 6-hour workday.
Sure.
And then so the achievement and the cardiac successes speak volumes for our EMS program. All of our shift lieutenants, motor pump operators, and firefighters are paramedics. So all three are tied together during the day, whether it's on the fire engine or on the ambulance. One of the things we still continue to run, three paramedics on a paramedic unit, which really helps for this 10-minute arrival for the ECG because everybody knows their role. So somebody is doing a patient history, somebody is taking vitals, and the third person is doing the 12-lead. It happens. Everything happens really fast when you have three people on an ambulance. And so we end up really going the extra distance and making things happen on the scene really quickly.
All right.
Okay, so then upcoming notable events. So for July, July is going to be UV safety month. So make sure to use your sunblock and everything like that. Hey. We don't want sunburns. And
especially this week.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you're doing it this week because it's going to be hot out there. July 18th is National Sour Candy Day. So make sure to go out and grab some Sour Patch Kids from the Candyman in downtown West Bend. Sour Patch Kids are like my weakness, major weakness. I need to step away from those. I absolutely love those things.
See, I'm a Jolly Rancher kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so Jolly Ranchers just get stuck in your teeth.
That's
yeah,
true.
So that's, but, and then, yeah, like the watermelon ones, not a big fan of those. The cherry ones are good, though. For August, all right, so Smokey Bear's 75th birthday is on August 9th. Since 1944, Smokey Bear has taught millions of Americans just like you their role in preventing wildfires. 75 years later, Smokey is celebrating a milestone birthday. For more information on Smokey Bear's birthday celebration, go to www.smokeybear75th.org. What else is going on in August?
Just a little sidelight here. Fellow that I used to work with, who's passed away now, claims that he was the original voice for the Smokey Bear PSAs.
Oh, really?
Remember, only you can prevent four. And he was the original voice, he says.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if I believe him or not, because Pete's stories were sometimes a little stretched and a little sketchy, but he could do the voice, okay. So maybe.
Yeah, because I think wasn't Sam Elliott the voice for a little while, too, because he had that real deep one.
I think so, at one point. But Pete said he was the original voice way back when.
Okay. So, yeah. And so Smokey Bear has had a big effect on wildfires and preventing them and making people more aware. And even though there's been some major wildfires out west, it's mostly drought conditions that are causing that. And anything can start a wildfire. So the prevention of wildfires from, let's say, campfires or discarded cigarettes is bigger than the things that are unpreventable, like I think the campfire, I think they're blaming it on electric lines or something like that. And or when trains go through and start the wildfires. But anything that we can do to prevent wildfires, Smokey the Bear has really made good awareness over the last 75 years. For the rest of August, National Wellness Month. Medic Alert Awareness Month is also in August. I think we can talk about that. National Immunization Awareness Month. We're definitely going to talk about that with the resurgence of measles.
In Fond du Lac has mumps.
Oh, really?
Too, at a daycare, someone has mumps.
Yep. And so, actually, I had it on the Facebook page about the West Bend Fire Department Facebook page about measles. And there was a woman. She and I got back and forth in a discussion, and she did make a good point that clean water is actually like clean living. Clean water is actually to have the credit for preventing illnesses, which is true.
Sure.
And actually, the American Water Works actually put out a Facebook post in 2017 about that. And so, yeah, it did. However, the immunizations are the next step. Clean living is the first step, and immunizations is the second step to eliminate these diseases. We almost had measles completely eliminated, and now it's the highest since 2008 or whatever it was. And again, measles, yes, it is in some instances not dangerous, but in many instances it is. And on top of it, why wouldn't we prevent a disease if we could? Look at how much productivity gets lost when a child gets measles. It lasts, somewhere between 10 and 15 days, and they're miserable, and you're taking off of work to treat your child, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll have to do our best to promote the National Immunization Awareness Month.
Now, the West Bend School District got a recognition earlier this spring from an immunization group because they had achieved 99-point-something% immunization for students.
Yes, and that's a good thing because I think Amy Brager was actually on. There was a video of her going around talking about the immunizations on their Facebook page. The national having immunizations is pretty important. Yeah, there may be some scientific risks, whether or not it's not the virus itself that's in the vaccine. There may be some instances where they've proven that maybe the thimerosal, which is the preservative, may cause some issues. But for the most part, the immunizations are the key to keeping these diseases at bay.
And again, neither you or I are doctors. Talk to your personal health care physician
exactly,
for advice.
Right.
Your pediatrician.
Yep. And then also in August, we'll be talking about Back to School Safety Day, which is September 3rd. September 3rd is the first day of school for the West Bend School District. So when I'm on in August, I'll be on in mid-August, so we're going to want to talk about that. Because, again, once you try to get the traffic patterns back into schools and kids walking to schools, those first few weeks, we end up with a bunch of accidents and people hitting in the crosswalks. So we'll have to talk about back-to-school safety when I'm back on in August. Also, August is National Health Center Week, which is August 4th to the 10th. So National Health Center, because I'll be on after this, so I'm going to talk about this now. National Health Center Week, August 4th to the 10th, is an annual celebration with the goal of raising awareness about the mission and accomplishments of America's health centers over the past five decades. Health centers serve 28 million patients, a number that continues to grow along with the demand for affordable primary care. In addition to their long history as healthcare homes to millions, health centers produce innovative solutions to the most pressing healthcare issues in their communities and reach beyond the walls of conventional medicine to address the social determinants of health affecting special patient populations. Each year we celebrate the work and services health centers provide to special populations within their community on designated days during the week. This year, the National Association of Community Health Centers and the Health Center Advocacy Network invites you to celebrate the ways that health centers are rooted in communities. A host of National Health Center Week events are scheduled across the country, including health fairs, visits by members of Congress and state officials to local health centers, press conferences, back-to-school drives, community breakfasts, patient appreciation events, free health screenings, and much more. Each day of National Health Care Week, National Health Center Week 2019 is dedicated to a particular focus area. So we've got a bunch of the days. I'll put those up on the Facebook page as we go. So again, people need primary care, and there's lots of times where they call the ambulance as their primary care. So we end up, remember, the ambulance can only do so much, and we need to end up taking people to the emergency room. We can't take people to health centers. The emergency room is the only place we can take you.
You can't take them to urgent care. You can't take them anywhere else. It's got to be the ER.
Yeah, and so having a primary health care provider is pretty important. So if you don't have a doctor that you see regularly, preventive care is pretty much key. So you should really get a doctor. There are ways to pay for it. Also, there's the free health care. So the Albrecht Free Health Clinic on West Wash is a primary example of that. So actually, the West Bend firefighters actually helped them move to their new location from the area by the old hospital. So we helped them move a few years back. And so it's pretty important to have primary health. Because small health problems can lead to big health problems, and that only leads to more expense and less productivity when you can't take care of the primary things that are wrong with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So has it been a busy summer for calls?
Yeah. We have had a lot of calls throughout the summer. Fires have been up because of between the grass fires and the mutual aid structure fires and stuff. So ambulance calls. So our total call volume is down just slightly, but that's because of a few things like going back to the primary care thing. I think from what my numbers are showing me, some of the lift assists are down, but the major calls are up. Car accidents might be down slightly. But yeah, it's been busy, not only call-wise, but all the other things that we do. Especially fire inspections. So because of the building boom that's going on, we've got a lot of new businesses that have come to the city. And so our fire inspections are up, and spending time out there trying to help promote fire safety and all the special events that we've been doing are up as well.
I think on the Common Council agenda for tonight, there's a discussion about some change in electrical code.
Oh, I'll have to look at that one. I didn't see that one come across my desk yet.
Yeah, I think that's on the agenda for tonight. So Fireman Kenny is here from West Bend Fire Department, Captain Kenny Aslin. Hey, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Rick, and hopefully everybody's enjoying the show. And again, we've talked about this all the time, that everything I say is common sense. But as Rick and I were talking in the pre-show, common sense isn't common to everybody. So hopefully everybody's enjoying the show. And if you got anything that you want to hear me talk about, go ahead and give me a call in the office. Again, 262-335-5055, or find me on the Facebook page, because I answer those questions as well, or on our website. My email address is on there, and you can email me any questions that you want me to talk about here on the show.
Yeah, I want to. We had this fire last night in Kewaskum, and I think people don't understand when it says that, you know, Kewaskum fire and then seven other departments. And I don't think people understand. It's not seven complete departments. It's, you know, West Bend sends an engine.
Right.
And because that's how the system is set up.
Yeah. And especially because of those areas, the fire last night was in an area in Kewaskum and the town of Kewaskum that doesn't have fire hydrants. So you need eight fire departments because you have to shuttle water there. So yeah, that's like, let's say a water tender with 3,000 to 5,000 gallons on it, but that's only two people, one truck from one fire department. Again, that's to not rob the resources. So like last night was a prime example. We had an ambulance out and we have sent a fire engine to the scene. And they also requested a water tender from us, but because everybody, there was a few, only a few people came in on the callback, we weren't able to send that tender just because of staffing levels. We have to protect the city.
Sure.
So all those are set up. The mutual aid box alarm system, the MABUS system, is set up so that you're not robbing more than a certain percent. I think it's 20% of your neighboring department's resources. So you've got concentric circles. You're working your own department first, then working out to your next closest departments. And then you've got departments farther out that are coming in that are hopscotching over the departments. But every department has to protect their response area. And we don't want any delays. So we often use mutual aid. And again, budgets are tight. So staffing levels don't go up. With volunteer departments, they're still having a hard time recruiting volunteers because it's a big commitment. It's a lifestyle, not just a part-time job. So, yeah, that's why you have a number of departments coming to each of those fires.
I know some people get confused about that, too, and they think, why did they send all those people this one building for?
Right, yeah. On that fire last night, eight departments, but realistically there was probably maybe 15, 16 people from Kewaskum, three from West Bend, two from Campbellsport. So you end up with like less than 30 people helping out, but that's right. Because you have, again, budget cuts and this trying to improve the productivity of the times the vehicles are used rather than having vehicles sit for long periods of time in the fire stations, because now it gets more expensive. New fire engines are $500,000. Ladder trucks are $1 million+.
And it takes a long time to get a new one.
Right. It takes a very long time to get a new one. So like Menominee Falls is finding out because they've had a couple of vehicles go down and it takes upwards of a year to get a new vehicle. When you buy used vehicles, those are usually retired out of service. And after 20 years, even if a vehicle isn't getting used much, or after a 20-year life cycle, those vehicles are, you know, they're not as well run as when they were new. And so, like Menominee Falls just bought a retired fire engine from St. Francis, and so it's a 25-year-old vehicle, still good, but not dependable, the most dependable always for day-to-day operations on a busier fire department.
It's like going out and buying that 72 Pinto just
exactly
because you want one.
Right. And yeah, and the Pinto, especially, you may want to put a piece of sheet metal over the gas tank
right
in the bag. So and
anyway, yeah. All right. Fireman Kenny in with us this morning, 101.3 WIBD AM 1470.